washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by its wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that He would bring me out and show me the way. This world of sin,
this world of sin,
washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again.
Hallelujah, I'm saved,
oh yes,
saved, saved by His wonderful grace.
Oh, I'm so glad that I found out
He would bring me out and show me the way. Traveled down life's lonely road. My heart was so heavy.
Oh, yes.
In my sin I sank low.
Oh.
Then I heard about Jesus.
Yes, yes.
What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power.
Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin.
This world of sin.
Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is once again to come into His courts with singing and praising His wonderful name and thankful in our heart for this opportunity. Aren't you glad that the Lord has just been mindful of us to give us another privilege? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in church on Saturday night. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of that song, brethren. Let's sing just a little bit more of it, if you will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes. Sister Janice Clark sends this in to please remember my husband, Brother Eugene Clark, in prayer. He's in the hospital in desperate need of a touch from the Lord. Remember me also that the Lord will give me strength. So let's pray for those needs tonight as we commit these things unto the Lord. Sister Rivetta Collins, flu-like symptoms. Let's pray for her recovery. Brother Ernie Villanueva sends this in. We've been asked to pray for this Christian brother, Martin, who had a tumor on his brain. The doctors have tried removing it, but couldn't remove it all, and want to give him chemotherapy, but don't give him a long lease of life after treatment. May the Lord quicken his promise to them that faith will come into action for him and for strength for his wife. And so we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray that God would remember that family and especially that brother in prayer as we pray tonight. Sister Linda Groomer has been fighting a valiant fight against Satan's onslaught against humanity called cancer. So we want to just, Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends that in, so we want to pray that the Lord would be mindful of that Sister Linda Groomer also tonight. Sister Jan Winters offers this testimony, and I think this would, we just join with her and give praise to the Lord, but she says she wants to thank the Lord for protecting us from the many storms, the tornadoes that passed all around us in the last few days and has left us with, we're all here tonight, so thank God for that. And she wants to praise the Lord for that, and I'm sure you do too. Brother Baker says to please pray for my sister Betty Baker. She's in poor health. She's in the care of hospice in Kentucky, and they're asking that we would remember her. Also, want to remember Bob Greer tonight. That's Glenda's sister's husband. He's in the Irwin health care, and they've given him maybe a week or so to live. Just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Let his perfect divine will be done. Give the family strength as they face this time. Sister Abigail Blair says to please pray for a couple of my classmates and the people living in and around Harrogate, Tennessee. A tornado hit last night and destroyed several houses, injured several people, and there are still people missing. So what they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Mike Johnson and family offers this praise report. A few weeks ago, my wife Dee Dee had a routine mammogram and a mass was detected. A biopsy of the mass was to be done this past Monday. Dee Dee went up for prayer here last Sunday about this situation. The biopsy was done as scheduled on Monday, and the results called in to us on Tuesday afternoon. The mass was diagnosed as benign and was no concern of it becoming malignant. We would just like to thank the Lord for his mercy and grace to us and also to anyone who was praying for us during this trial. Praise the Lord. So thank God for that testimony tonight. Amen. I want to remember Brother Jerry Phillips in prayer. He has a blockage in the carotid artery. They will do a test on Tuesday to determine the percent of blockage. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jerry. The Lord would be mindful of him. Remember my son, Chris Coleman, in prayer. He has stomach trouble. Sister Janet Kennedy sends that in. Please pray for Sister Natalie Yance. She was doing better after the blood clot. However, while receiving radiation, there was an accident. She was face down on the table, and the table fell, similar to an elevator falling. She was injured in her back and leg due to the position that she was in. She is out of the hospital, but in a lot of pain. Please take her up on your heart. So we certainly want to pray for our sister. I tell you what, the devil's just punching her every which way he can, but hey, she's a soldier. She's a fighter, so we just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Brother Bert Thomason sends this in for Brother Samuel. Been suffering greatly with an infected gum and some bad teeth causing very strong pain. This has been going on for quite some time. He's asking that we hold him in prayer for the release of healing in body and spirit. He's streaming the service tonight. Thanks everyone for so much for their thoughts and prayers on his behalf. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know we're serving a God that's more than able to meet all of our needs tonight. And we rest on the promise of God. By his stripes, we are healed. A thousand of us may die before in the morning, but God's still a healer. God still heals. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel Brown, come tonight if you would. Pray over these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. I believe God's going to give us a wonderful time here tonight. How many of you enjoyed this service here Wednesday night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Brother Joel, we love you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, to know you is amazing. To be known of you is such a joy, such a peace that comes into our hearts. Lord, I can't help but to think of the song. The words are, though the storms keep on raging in my life, my Lord, we could take an account tonight of everyone and given the opportunity to speak of things that's going on in their lives, in the lives of their family, their friends, and it would totally overwhelm us. And I'm convinced more and more every day that, Father, if we would learn to love more like you, then there wouldn't be so many hurting people around us. And then when these requests fall upon our heart, we would take them to heart. They wouldn't just be small things. And Lord, I know that we're living in the most trying hour of all the ages. And here we are in the midst of the greatest battle that's ever been fought. But we also know that there is a man here that can and has and that will turn on the light in the darkest of hours. We're hiding and we're resting in that, Papa. As the winds began to pick up last night, Father, and I woke up and was just listening to the radio, Lord, just in preparation, Lord, to move my family if need be. Lord, I couldn't help but to think, Lord, of the little story that the prophet told of the woman and the little boy that was there with her in her home, and he wasn't a Christian. And the winds began to howl and beat against that old house and seemingly going to lift it off its very foundation, and she just went on about her business. And there he was hunkered down, scared, terrified. And he began to inquire of her, and he found out that she had prayed before the storm. There was no real need to pray. So, Father, we want to be found faithful. These requests that I hold in my hands and that some have captured within their heart tonight. Lord, for the testimonies, we give you praise. For the surgeries that's pending, for the hurt that's as a result of surgery, Father, we ask that you would just move. Come and have the preeminence. Lord, there's Brother Sam with the tooth problems and the pain, and I just ask that you move for him and go into the hospital, Father. I just ask that you would just undertake in all of these requests of prayer out in the by way of the hookup or the internet connection tonight. Lord, around in the lands of Africa, Lord, in Europe, Father, in Australia, Lord, and all around the world, in India and Germany, Lord, everywhere that they're streaming tonight and that we'll hear these that has a need, oh God. We just ask that you would just move. I think of the ones there in Alaska, Father. We just pray that you'd move for that family, that couple, Lord, there in their home as they're gathered around the monitor, Lord, listening to service. Just have your way, Lord. We don't know when the last call will be made. We don't know when our time will be called, Father God, but may we be ready. Now I just ask that you would just come and move in this service tonight. Every human instrument, every ounce of humanity that exists in this building tonight, may you take control of it, oh God. The mouth of the preacher, Lord, the amens that come forth, the hallelujahs, the clapping of the hands, Lord, may it be so anointed that it would totally astound the people. And Lord, may we get ourselves completely, everybody out of the way. Many times we leave so much work on the pastor or on the preacher as he's bringing the word. But Lord, we're the ones that operate that gift. It's not so much him. So Lord, if we would get out of the way, Lord, then we could give you true honor. We could give you true praise and glory. Every sickness that's here, Father, even in my own body, raging, oh Lord, I just pray and ask that you would just move, Lord. Anoint Brother Louis, the brothers and sisters that's on the instruments tonight. May everything bring you glory, Lord. And may we not leave here as we came. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Brother Joe, good to see you here tonight. Brother Joe Yance, good to see you here in the service with us tonight. Let's sing an old, old song. But I believe as we get closer and closer and closer, we want that rock of ages. We want to be standing on that rock. Don't you believe that with all your heart tonight? Let's see if we can sing this old song, Rock of Ages, clip for me.
Rock of Ages, oh,
left for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound side which flows.
Hallelujah.
The double cross.
Oh, yes.
And save from wrath and make.
Just one thing, Lord.
Simply to thy cross I
cling.
Make it come.
Oh, say it to him, church.
To thee for dress, helpless look. Just let me hide.
storms of life are raging, stand by me. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight, if you will. Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart. You're singing so good tonight. Let's just give God a little bit of honor, a little bit of praise and worship tonight. Amen.
When the storms of life are raging, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me. When the world is tossing me,
oh, yes,
like a ship upon the sea,
oh, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. Now in the midst of tribulation,
Lord, stand.
Hallelujah. You believe he'll stand by you? You believe he'll be there for you? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Joel Brown gets ready to give us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. Certainly appreciate our brother, Brother Joel, Sister Tamika mean a lot to us, our family. And Brother Joel keeps practicing. He's going to turn into a good little singer one of these days. Bless his heart.
I'm thoroughly convinced that if you all ever hear a good singer, then you'll tell me to shut up. But I do. I love to sing, and I love to hear different people sing. Just love the voices and things that people can do. It's just amazing, the instrument that God puts in some people. It's just astounding. And I really don't have much of a voice, and I've been battling that old devil. But I think as one who does sing, I'll say it this way, that many times certain songs just reverberate within you. And it stands as a witness, I guess, that sometimes of where you are and things that are going on. And you can sing a song many times, it'll lift somebody up. And it's a form of ministry within itself. But I can honestly say I'm very thankful to be here tonight, to have a little bit of space in this place. Not so much Happy Valley, but church. But church, to have an experience with Jesus Christ, even when I'm not headed and doing stupid stuff, he's still there. The trials of this world, we're getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. You get there sometimes, don't you? And I was on the verge, listen, of giving over. Right there on the edge. I've been there. The strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. And they come so great sometimes, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality, for something keeps holding me. Now Satan lay before me this temptation. It was his desire to steal away my faith, my joy, my hope. But I have found in time this revelation. It was just what I needed to keep me in this race. Jesus is holding me. Sing verse 2 with me. Now Satan, he died.
desire with his temptation. It was his great effort to steal away my salvation. But I have found when I read the word, it gives me encouragement.
Amen.
Keep me in this race. Something is holding me. Yeah. Helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly. Giving me victory. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a reality. But something keeps holding me. Something, yeah. Helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality. For Jesus is holding me. It's a reality. For Jesus, I know, is holding me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Aren't you glad you know why? Amen. Let's turn to the book of Daniel again tonight, if you would. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the Messianic Empire. This is the reason that we're being held, that we're being kept in such a time of distress and trouble. So many things that are happening on the earth is because the King has started his dominion in our souls. Though we may fight battles in our body, in our mind, in our spirit, may be under such an onslaught that it's just almost unbelievable. But yet from within you, the domain of Christ as you in his control. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. We'll read verses 31 through 34. Remember, this is a dream that the king Nebuchadnezzar has, and then Daniel actually sees it in vision form and interprets it to the king. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away. Now listen to this. That no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It didn't start out as a mountain now. It started out as a stone, but it became a mountain. Isn't that amazing that he would become in the same way that we become? Brother Bim says the size of God coming into you about the size of a little button on your shirt, something like that, and then it grows and grows and grows and gets bigger and bigger until your body just can't take it no more and then you're changed. So he comes to the earth and he becomes in the form of a little stone and he grows and he grows and he grows until it becomes a kingdom and fills the entire earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for such encouraging words. We could just dismiss right now and say it's been good to be in the house of God. To know that our King, our God, he will absolutely bring the kingdoms of this world under his domain. We are thankful, Lord, that we can look ahead and see and not just focus on the things that are around us right now. And we know, dear God, that you will bring it to pass, for it is in your plan and it is of your own nature. Speak to us tonight, Father, we pray from your great word in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read verse 44, if you would. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these. Listen now, what it's going to do. Break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God, now listen who this is, a heathen now that God's showing this to, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure thereof. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Now, when you look and think that God prophetically, that he would begin to bring forth something out of his great messianic empire, something in the symbols that the five books of Moses did not convey. The coming of the prophecies in Isaiah was able to tell a little bit about what he would be. Psalms 2 said, ask me of the heathen, I will give it to thee for thine inheritance. Psalms 22 speaks of his crucifixion. Psalms 46:10, many different places spoke of the Messiah coming. But here we catch a glimpse of what the kingdom will be and how it will start in such humility. Now, no wonder that the Jews were, you know, looking at it carnally and they were confused, because you can imagine if you and I were living in the Old Testament and we would try to take the prophecies or the passages of scripture of the Old Testament and try to put them together. They did not have a messianic Bible. They did not have a Bible that had stars beside it that maybe some of yours do, and they'd say this is a messianic prophecy. They really didn't know. So they would try to take this one and put it together with that one, and maybe this one with that one and that one, and they had it all in their mind. That Brother Rim said they thought, and the scribes and the priests taught it, that when the Messiah come, he would step down on the temple at Jerusalem and he would come down to Cephas and say, Cephas, I'm arrived, announce me to the people. And yet they had, it seemed as if though that they had scriptures that would lead them to a spot to where he would come as a great king. And he would come as a king,
except it was going to be in a mystical kingdom. But yet it seemed as if though, if you take Isaiah 2, you take many of the prophecies of the Old Testament, it seemed that he was going to come as a king, and he was, but they did not know that there was a timeline of 2,000 years of church ages in between his advents. And it seemed as if though that it was only one coming and one advent that the prophets was prophesying about, and they did not know that there was going to be all these years that was going to be between it. So when they would read about the coming of a kingdom, a serpent destroyer, a serpent bruiser, he's going to be all these great things. My, the desert is going to bloom as a rose, and all the high places will be brought down, and all the low places will be made high. It would seem as if though they was right in line when they was looking for him to come, and of course do away with the Romans and do away with all the people that was standing against Israel. Even his beloved disciples said, "Now, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It's not for you to know the time of the season." And here they were. They had been with him for almost 3 years now when they asked this question, and they still did not understand the messianic kingdom because they thought he was going to set it up naturally upon the earth. What were they looking for? They were looking for what we call the millennium kingdom, when he will come as the son of David and set up a natural kingdom on the earth with a natural throne. And they were looking for that in the first advent instead of in the millennium. They did not see, nor did they understand, that the first coming like this was a messianic empire which would be totally invisible. It would be the Messiah living in the lives of people. It would be the anointed ones for 2,000 years that would make up this mystical body. They would be quickened by the Spirit of God according to the word for their day. They would look like the offscouring of the world, yet they would be the anointed messiahs of every age. But yet they would not go around turning, you know, the world upside down, healing all the sick in that sense of taking over all the kingdoms of the world. They would turn the world upside down, but they would not take it under control. Do you understand? Right tonight, we are in a spiritual kingdom and a spiritual dominion. And we are kings right this very night. But we are a kings in a dominion that is a dominion over sin. But yet in our bodies can be sickness and disease and heartache and trouble. Man, you may be struggling here tonight with all kinds of things in your home, all kinds of things in your job. Yet at the same time, you are a king. You are a son or a daughter of God that is ruling in a dominion. Does it make sense to the world? Absolutely not. And sometimes it don't even make no sense to us that we could be in a position of dominion and actually ruling. But friend, there's no promise in the word that tells us that in this dominion that we will never be sick. It doesn't say that. It says the exact opposite. It doesn't tell us that being exposed to all the chemicals and all the things that are around us, the Bible nor the message never says that the bride will never be exposed to cancer, or the bride will never get sick, or the bride will never be exposed to all the things around. It does not say that. We have read that into things. And then my, when somebody gets cancer, oh my, God don't love me. What do you mean God don't love you? Sure he loves you. You might just found out you had cancer. He knew it before the world ever began. It's not a mystery to him. It's not a surprise to him. You know, Brother Branham had a reason. Why was one of the first books that was ever written pertaining to this message? Why was it that it was entitled, "Do You Fear Cancer?" Why would it be written in this age? That ought to tell you and I something. That ought to tell us that the followers of the message, that we're not going to be exempt from disease. We're not going to be exempt from trouble. But yet at the same time, we are in a dominion. Right here tonight, we are enjoying the empire of the Messiah. But yet at the same time, we can be fighting the greatest battle that's ever been fought in our mind, in our body, in our spirit. And that's where people look and say, "Oh my, I thought when I come to the Lord, I thought when I got in line with what God wanted me to be, everything was going to be happy-go-lucky." Whoever told you that lied to you. It wasn't me that told you that, because I don't believe that. I'm telling you, when you really come in, you're going to fight everything. Every gun in hell will be trained at you. You'll fight more than you ever fought in your life, but that's a good sign. Because you was out there in the world slopping around, living like the devil, drinking on his old slop of the world. And when you come to Jesus and really get energized by the power of God, then brother, you have joined an army. You have not come to a picnic. You have not come to a social supper. But you're in the army of the living God. And every power in hell will be against you, but let us turn it right around, and we are also against every power of hell. Not only are they against us, but we are against them. Brother M says, in the Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. In other words, God is the king, and the church is his domain, God's kingdom, the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. Oh, I like that. Messianic, and otherwise, the Messiah's empire, where the Messiah rules and reigns. Now, how many knows God owns the earth, the universe, stratosphere, hemisphere, all of that? But how many knows God also does not have perfect control over the earth right now? Not the heavens now. The earth. It's his, and he's claimed it. But if you go down to Grindstaff today and you went down there and found this car and you said, man, this is beautiful. We want this. We're going to trade it. You pay a $500 deposit. And Monday morning before you get back, some other salesman lets somebody else drive it because they think they might be interested in one too. And they wreck it. Now, you haven't exactly purchased it yet, but you did pay a down payment. Now, it is yours in a sense, but it's not in your possession yet. This earth, our Lord Jesus didn't just pay a down payment. He paid the full price. But he hasn't taken complete possession yet. That's why we can have storms and tornadoes and winds and all the sort of things that goes on. You understand? Oh, is it his? Absolutely is his. He has paid for it, but he's not taken it completely under his control yet. And the devil's doing everything he can while he can because he knows his time is short-lived. But inevitably, our Lord will take over this earth again. And his kingdom will no longer just be a messianic empire of a mystical body which is unseen on the earth, but it will be a natural kingdom. There will be a temple built in Jerusalem. From Jerusalem will go forth the law, and there will be a natural kingdom upon this earth. I say natural. It will actually be inhabited by supernatural beings living on the earth at the same time. And there's other people here in natural, unglorified bodies. But here the kingdom will finally reach the place that God wanted it to be. And yet people look at it today and they say, my, how come God lets this and God kills babies and God destroys people? God ain't doing none of that stuff. Oh, the insurance companies call it an act of God. I don't care what they call it. They ain't blaming that stuff on my daddy. My daddy don't do that kind of stuff. Come on. And yet it confuses people so much. They say, why does God let people like this get killed? How does God kill innocent babies? Why does God send tornadoes? God ain't the one doing all that. God has paid the price for this, but right now it's still under Satan's dominion. His kingdom was not to come on the earth, my friends, and immediately annihilate the Romans, immediately annihilate the Babylonians, immediately annihilate everybody. It was to come and by a new birth start the kingdom from within. Start the kingdom from within. It wouldn't have done any of good for him to purchase the earth and set a kingdom up and turn it over to Peter without the Holy Ghost. Annihilate all the Romans and annihilate everybody else and turn Peter and James and John in charge of it without the Holy Ghost. Let me move it on up. Put you in charge of it without the Holy Ghost. Put me in charge of it without the Holy Ghost. Put Brother Branham in charge of it without the Holy Ghost. Would you want Brother Branham to be in charge of it without the Holy Ghost? I wouldn't. You may, Brother Branham, mad. He may drag out that 22. Brother Branham needs the Holy Ghost just like me and you need it. So what is he doing? He's building the kingdom from the inside first. Get the souls under his dominion. Get the control tower of the man, the woman, the boy, the girl. The kingdom, before the kingdom can change on the earth, men must change first. So what does he do? He starts this kingdom from within the soul. And yet you can look at a person and there's no way for you to know for sure that they have it. Because they may have it and struggle with things. And they may look like they have it when they don't have nothing. So there's no way for you and I want to know 100%. Forget it. You do good to know for yourself, not just for anybody else. Now what's this? The Messiah's empire. Well, the Messiah rules and reigns. But it's how does he do this? How does he rule? By what standard would he rule by? It wouldn't be a Roman standard, or it wouldn't be a Babylonian or Syrian or Medo-Persian. What kind of standard? It must be the standard of his kingdom. So what was the standard of his kingdom? His character projected through his word. So then he will absolutely never leave his word. You know, it always alarms me when message folks go to try to leave in this Bible and they want to back up their doctrines only by quotes. They generally got something up their sleeve. Come on now, preachers, it's double married, triple married, quadruple married, and how many ever more times married. It's amazing to me that they always leave the pages of this Bible here where Paul said if a man wants to be a bishop, he's got to be the husband of one wife. Yeah. It's amazing they'll try to leave the pages of that Bible and try to find a quote somewhere as if Brother Branham talked different than Paul. Yeah. What kind of knothead are you anyhow? That you'd think God would send one prophet in the first church age in the beginning of this messianic kingdom and set up a standard and then send another prophet at the end time and say, oh, that standard was wrong. Well, y'all getting quiet on me already. What kind of king we got? You mean we got a king that the first church age says one thing and in the last church age says another? The king in the first church age sets forth ministry, and then in the last day actually sends Brother Branham and said, we don't need preachers no more. What kind of king have you got? But this is one thing I know about him. If he starts out with something, he'll end up the same way. Now, if he started out with holiness, he'll end up with holiness. If he started out requiring a new birth with a Pentecostal experience, he won't end up with a tape and a book in your hand. He'll have to end up exactly the same way. If it started out in apostolic form in the beginning, it will have to end up in apostolic form in the end. If it started out with the folks staying at home and reading the books of Paul, then it will have to end up the same way. But if he started out saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that much more as you see the day approaching, it will have to end up the same way in order to be the messianic empire. Either that or the Messiah changed his mind, which means he's no more than me and you. So he starts out with this and this and this and say, you know what? I think I made a mistake. I don't believe that's such a good idea. I don't think we need to do that in the end time. Well, your God may be that way. Mine ain't. Mine don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what's this? He says, no denominational barriers or nothing. The Messiah rules in his empire. Isn't that wonderful thinking? Messiah empire. Therefore, the church is not an organization. The church is not a gathering of people. The church is the people of God that's been called out of the world to serve in another kingdom. We cannot be still in the kingdom of the world, the cosmos, and be in the messianic empire at the same time. I'm talking about your soul. You cannot have the kingdom of cosmos in your soul and the kingdom of the Messiah in your soul at the same time. But the kingdom of the Messiah can be in your soul, and the kingdom of cosmos can be in your body. Cancer is not from the messianic kingdom. Headaches, stomach problems, viruses, all this is not from the messianic kingdom. Notice this, we have access. We read this last week, but let's read it again. We have access to our king. We have an interview with him whenever we want to call upon him. We have no other intercessors, no other mediator between the king and us. So the people and preachers who tell us around the message that Brother Branham is our mediator are false prophets and liars. People who tell us that the blood that was shed on the road to out of Amarillo, Texas, in that Ford station wagon was the blood of the covenant for the bride are liars. Come on, church. Well, glory. Notice he said, we're living in the kingdom in the chronology of the Bible. It's the messianic kingdom. In other words, for the Messiah rules in every life in his dominion. Now notice how he rules. He rules in every life in his dominion. So then if you take a man that's married and he has three children and there's only one person in that household that is in the messianic empire, he does not rule that entire household. He rules that one person. It might be a 12-year-old boy. The mom and daddy may hate God. They may not want to do the church. They may not want anything to do with the message of the hour. And yet that boy loves God with all of his heart. He's sealed by the Holy Ghost. So does God come in and rule that whole house? Absolutely not. There are three more agents and they have the right to choice. Now look, how many ever there would be around the earth today that God would have in this messianic dominion, in this messianic empire? Does he control the whole earth because of 500,000 or a million or how many ever there are? Does he control the whole earth because of them? He does not. Because the rest of the 6 billion people on the earth still have a right to choose. That's why utter chaos can go on right in the middle of this dominion. Absolute chaos can go on. You know, it's the same way in a church. How many other people that are here at Happy Valley that belong to the spiritual dominion of God? Will God make everybody that attends Happy Valley, will he make them line up? He won't. Will he make every one of them start talking bad and pay their bills and my door? Will he? He will not. Will he do it because I love him and I'm the pastor? He will not. He rules in every life as an individual. Now, you can have restrictions in your home and do's and don'ts and we can do this and we cannot do that. And you make your children comply because you want the right kind of environment in your home. But you cannot make them from their heart. You may tell your boys you're not listening to rock and roll music in this house, and you girls you're not dressing in pants, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, but they don't have a dominion in their heart if you have to make them do it. You're simply making them comply to what you want them to do. But when will it ever become a dominion? That's easy. When the Messiah comes in their soul. And then they don't go, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's that I want to. I want to live right. I want to do right. I don't want to cut my hair. I don't want to listen to rock and roll. I told my girls before they had the Holy Ghost, I would have to be their Holy Ghost until they got it. Therefore, they would comply to what I thought was best. Whether they agreed with it, whether they liked it, that really didn't matter. I was the head of the family. God's going to make me answer for it. So therefore, if I told them they couldn't go here, they couldn't go there, they couldn't associate with certain people, you know, or couldn't do this, that, other, they didn't always like it. But they did it because I was the head of the house. Now, once they got converted and once they got immersed into the messianic kingdom, they began to look at it in the same way that Daddy did. And they found out Daddy was not an old fogey because I wasn't old, neither was I a fogey. So they found out Daddy wasn't an old fogey. They really began to see what I was talking about, me and their mama, all along. Why? They were immersed into the same kingdom we were baptized in. Don't you see, friend, why are young people sitting around the message? And they hear, Brother Man said this, Brother Man said that, Brother Man said that. But for many of them, it's not a dominion. They sit there and they hear, yes, yes, I know. Brother Bram said we came to that. Brother Bram said we came to that. Do you understand what we're going to deal with in this next generation? Because the educational system is set up the way it is, it's almost a requirement for you to have a degree in this and a degree in that and a degree in something else. And many of our children are more educated than you parents. What's it going to be if you go on another generation? Many of you have just accepted the message and accepted the teaching just because, well, you did. But many of our kids are getting smarter and smarter and more intellectual. And remember, Brother Branham says you look in the Bible and most of the time the intellectual are demon possessed. So when you're learning and you're getting more educated, be careful that you're not going to trade off your faith for your intellect. That's why many of our young people are questioning this and questioning that and questioning, because Professor so-and-so said so-and-so. And my school teacher said this, and somebody I went to high school said, why do you do this and how come you do that? And show me in the Bible. Well, let's just be honest, friends. There's many things. The Bible says nothing about television. The Bible don't mention cigarettes. The Bible don't mention Milwaukee beer. Huh? Neither does the Bible say thou shalt not take a Colt 45 and blow Jim Babb's brains out either. But I think there's enough in there to let us know we shouldn't do it. Come on! So for the intellect that becomes more trained, more trained, more trained, more trained, everything has to be proven. Prove it to me. Well, I'll prove to you there's a God when you prove to me you're a human. And prove to me you're alive. And prove to me you have love and understanding and patience. And prove to me what you have is intellect and knowledge and not stupidity. If the way up is down and down is up, how do you know that what you're saying is intellect is not actually ignorance? But what's the standard that we go by? You understand what I'm saying? So what? Then many people that are sitting around the message and they're sitting there and they don't say much. They never really say it out, but in their heart they're questioning. I don't understand this and I don't understand that. I can't make all this fit and I can't make that fit. My math teacher said this and my biology teacher said it and my so. And they have scientifically proven what? And in 10 years they'll turn right back around and say, you know what? We was wrong. But this will never be proven wrong. Did Brother Bram change? Sure he did. Brother Donnie change? Sure I have. Have you changed? Sure you have. People that don't change are dead. If you ain't grown in understanding in the last 6 months, there's something wrong with you. But the Word of God never changes and never fails. The Messianic Empire is not taking your biology book and your mathematics book and this book and that book and that book and setting it all down and explaining God to the T where you can know everything about Him. There's things about God you and I will never understand. Because if we could, there'd be no need of faith. There's times you just trust Him. Of course, if you're not in the empire, then you sit from the outside and you're looking in and you're thinking, those folks are pitiful. They're deceived. My biology teacher, we studied in archaeology. And we've done proof that this and we who? Well, it's 500 billion. Was you around? And that teacher of yours, you mean they're 500 billion years old? Man, I'd like to meet them. But what is it, friend? It's the outside world. As years go by, it creeps in more and more and more. And then we wonder why there's not more miracles. Because we're merging our intellect and our reasoning. And we no longer can be able to release faith. Because you cannot scientifically be able to prove divine healing. How can I scientifically prove to you that if I lay these little old feeble hands on top of you, that the power of God can be released from me and go to you if you've got faith and God can heal you? So the Messianic kingdom is ruled from individually inside the heart. Notice he says, in other words, for the Messiah rules in every life. Every life in his dominion. Ruling the lives of his people. Are called out people from every walk of life. Are we to be ignorant? Are we not to read? Are we not to study? Of course not. But in all you're learning and all you're getting, keep faith first. Glory. Notice. Oh my. Christ is the head of this messianic kingdom. And you cannot organize a kingdom of which Christ is the head. So tell me then, how are we going to make the message? We're going to put, say, Brother Joseph Branham over it and make him the boss of all of it. Or Brother Tim Pruitt or Brother Biscola or some other man. How are we going to make him the head to where everybody asks him what we should do? That's nonsense, friends. You will not put the messianic kingdom of Christ under any man's dominion. Brother Branham did not want to be that place. He knew it would be blasphemy to claim such a thing. Any man that does, there's something wrong with him. Well, you're getting quieter and quieter. Notice you cannot denominate a kingdom which Christ is the head. Oh my. Because Christ is king. And you cannot take the... Well, now, don't it just make more sense that we'd be better off to play one of Brother Tim's tapes during the service tonight? I mean, that's straight the voice of God. That's God's prophet. That's... Who am I? Well, if I stand up here and preach, then I guess that means I think I have more to say than a tape. That's what the tape people say. That a preacher that'll stand up and preach, he thinks he has more to say. What is that? Nothing but reasoning. Satan's interpreter. Same one Eve had in the Garden of Eden. And it is the intellect. So the intellect is saying, well, it just makes more sense to hear that pure, perfect word of God. Flawless, perfect message, on and on and on. All the cliches that have been made up that Brother Branham never said anyway. And then the intellect said, that's right, brother. That's right, brother. Now, if you'd have come to church tonight and I would have played a tape, would you have the ability to go to hold to that tape and pull out of that tape what you needed? No. It's been pre-recorded years and years ago and it'll never be changed. It can't be changed. So what's on there will be on there from now until the rapture. So you'll never be able to control that gift, which takes you completely out of focus, which makes it the antitype of Catholicism, which takes all the Spirit of God out of the body and puts it in one holy man. They call him a pope, we call him a prophet. Oh my, boy, you folks, man, did y'all pray before you come to church tonight? You should have. Notice this, now you see what the church means. Church means a called out bunch. A called out people that's governed only by the king of this messianic kingdom. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I love that. The kingdom, the messianic empire. Who set it up? Who set this up? He said, that's it. It's a mystical body. Who started this? Jesus Christ. Friends, you realize people who say, I don't believe in preachers. That's not really the truth. It's not that they don't believe in preachers. They just don't believe Jesus. If you leave Happy Valley and say, I don't believe in preachers. No, just say it like it really is. You don't believe the founder of this kingdom. Folks around the message who say that, they're not doing away with me. They're not going to stop me by no means. I'm going to keep on preaching. They're not doing anything to me at all, but they're actually looking Jesus in the face and say, I don't agree with the way you started this kingdom. And I think it needs to be changed. Oh, come on, let's not just stop there. What about those who want to substitute just believing the message for a new birth? What about those that want to substitute a pill for divine healing? Come on, church. What about those that want to substitute a handshake and they want to substitute this and that and the other? I don't believe we have no room or no say to make no substitutes in this kingdom of the Messiah. Isn't it amazing? When he started this out, he chose 12 disciples instead of 12 prophets. I wonder why did he start out with apostles instead of prophets. I wonder why he didn't choose 12 pastors. Well, pastor pretty much a homebody guy. He don't go out very often, so he just stood right there in Jerusalem and Judea. Why didn't he choose 12 teachers? Well, it only went so far, but why did he choose disciples? Go ye forth. Then he sends prophets down through the ages. Now think of it. If the prophet was the office that every church age needed, then God would have put tens of thousands of them. And the Gentiles never had but one. One major one, that's all. did the rest of those folks make it without one, you reckon? Well, so the Messiah started out this empire with a dominion, a rules that he chose himself. So he chose men and gifted them with a part of his own nature, a supernatural endowment of a spiritual gift. As he dripped his blood upon the earth and claimed the earth and left the earth under Satan's control, even so he moved inside the souls of these men and birthed them by the breath of God and left their bodies, since it's a part of the earth, under the control of this earth is. So they could get down, they could get sick, they could get weary. Why? Because the foundation of the Messianic kingdom was started the same way. Now, even though the Lord Jesus was virgin born and did not have a sinful desire or sinful nature, yet he subjected himself to such. He could not age if he would have maintained the identity of Logos. But he separated himself from that identity and allowed himself to age. And being 33 years old, he looked like he was 50. Why? He's allowing. Now, this is the founder of the Messianic kingdom. So if the rest of the Messianic kingdom is all going to live on this earth in these bodies and not be sick and not have trouble, he done the wrong thing. He should have looked like he was 18 years old when he died. He should have never gone with a headache. He should have never had any type of worry. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So this Messianic kingdom comes with suffering, weakness, humanity, trials, tests. And we wonder if we're in it because we have these things. That's one of the best signs you are in it. I realize this won't make you very much in the PTL club and the 700 club and the 900 club and the 1100 club. But if you want to be in the Messianic Empire, it's up to you. You can be in the PTL club or the Messianic club, whichever one you desire. They'll preach to you new Cadillacs and new this and that and the other. Man, my, just name it, claim it. They have all kinds of blessings. It's always amazing to me how a lot of those folks are so profound. When I go down in Hendersonville and record a new CD, I'm just, the studio's just a little ways from their big headquarters there. You know, of the big broadcast, and I drive by there about every time I'm through there, and they got a restaurant and they got a game area and they got this and they got that and the other. All in the name of Christ, of course. And yet they profess all these great blessings and all these things that God wants them to have. And then you read, you're in the Bible, and you look at what the Messianic Empire is, and you say, there's no relation at all. There's nothing at all. They're only invoking his name. But as far as the character of the king and the empire, the dominion itself, it's total opposite. I wonder about the message, folks. We're already heading that direction. Where everything is bigger and bigger and greater and more wonderful. And more numbers, 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 numbers. We send out so many books. We send out this with so many tapes, so many. Numbers, 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 numbers. But have we got more of the power of God or less? Come on now, church. Because a few updikes go to getting around. And then some of you will kind of squelch the Spirit of God because your boss is here. Well, mine is too. That's why I don't squelch it. Well, I invited Sister So-and-so, so I'm not going to say amen. What do you think Jesus thinks about that? When you scream to the top of your voice every other service and you invite your neighbor and then you sit there as quiet as a church house mouse, I wonder what Jesus thinks about that. What I'm trying to use wisdom. So is that making you a fool whenever your neighbor's not here? Come on now, church. You see, we flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop, according to what we think about it. But is that the rules of the empire? Is that the rules of this dominion? Do you understand? That's what caused, as I've been listening to the seals this week, what Brother Ben said, whenever them rich people and the bosses and the captains, they started looking into the salvation. They started going down to them dingy halls and them caves. And they said them people was down there shouting and casting out devils. They said they couldn't take that to their business associates. They couldn't go out there and buy. You know, that wouldn't be right for me to do that, to go down there and a fellowship with them slaves and them lower class people. So they wanted to get their own form of the message. Oh my. So he said, what did that Nicolaitan spirit cry for? Get away from them people that shout and run and jump. So they wanted their own form of the message. And they weren't going to deny that there was a God. And there was one God and Paul. And no, they weren't going to deny that. They just wanted to wash it up with Amos and make it more presentable. So, you know, here's a guy that's a vice president of a bank and there's a sheriff and a mayor. And he walked down. How you doing there, sir? Why don't you come over to church? We have a real fine pastor. Very intellectual man. From Harvard and all the rest of them Harvards. And man, that guy's got so many degrees behind his name. He's a walking thermometer. I'm telling you what, he's so smart. He's so intellectual. He knows how to reach down and get a hold to your mind. And I mean, he can set that, never says anything to embarrass nobody. I didn't know Holy Ghost filled preacher. I heard it yesterday. Brother Ram said three people today, they want a pastor that's a whisperer. Whisper. Says, dearie, God bless you. But he said, God wants thunderbolts. Oh, glory. Oh, my. Time goes on, my friends. There'll be less and less and less message preachers that'll really preach right down where folks live. Come on now, don't get mad at me. Why? Because this message will go the same way, but not the empire itself. When the Lord Jesus calls away this last phase of this bride, they'll stand right there by Peter and James and John and shake their hands and say, brothers, we believe the same thing you do. We preached it. We still cast out devils. We still laid hands on the sick. We still baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We still preach a new birth just like you did, Paul. Oh, my. Notice this. Who set it up? This mystical body. Who started this? Jesus Christ. It wasn't Peter. Peter ain't got enough sense to run something like this. And you ain't either. And I ain't either. God don't want our input. God wants our obedience. Well, I think. Well, when we need an I think, we'll call you. Give us your card. As soon as I find one flaw in this, I'll call you. How's that? Hold your breath. Please. Pretty please. Notice this. Glory. He is the head of this mystical body. Don't you understand? Alexander the Great could not be the head of every man, woman, boy, and girl in his dominion. How many things were done under his name that he never gave them authority to do? How many things was bought out from under the table that was behind his back? But in this dominion, the king can live in every heart. There's never been a dominion like it. Oh, glory. This is the only one that has ever been on the earth where the king enthrones himself. He's got thousands and thousands of throne rooms. Nebuchadnezzar had one. Julius Caesar had one. But Jesus Christ has thousands of throne rooms. Where? In every human heart. Who's been born by the breath of God. And where does he rule from? He don't rule from this pulpit. He don't rule from Jeffersonville. He rules from your heart. Do you understand, my friend? This is what he wants it to be. This is why when he tells us things, we say, oh my. You know, we're getting closer and closer. And he's honing it down, honing it down, honing it down. And things that we thought 5 years ago, we'd have never thought would have ever bothered us. But it's getting so delicate. It's getting so close and you're saying, and you're going to say a little something or do a little something and all of a sudden something just kind of feels funny in here. You think, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Did you get a text from Jeffersonville? Did you get a text from the library here to tell you, you shouldn't have done that? Didn't one of the local ministers here email you an email? No, the king did. The king sent you a message from where? The throne room. of your heart. Why? Because you're in His dominion. Just if you look the wrong way, say the wrong word, do the wrong thing. Oh, glory! Why? Because this dominion is in every individual's heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is the head of this mystical body. Now listen to what it is. It's a mystical body. He is the king over it, working His own will in His dominion. Not a bishop's control or a church board control, but a king, which is Messiah Himself working in His own domain. God don't want me to replace this in your life. God could have given you the book of your life when you were born. And every time you'd get ready to make a decision, God would have said, no, on March the 3rd, on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, or on March the 4th, or whatever more, you're going to be faced with this decision. Turn to page 3,892. Okay, here it is, on March the 3rd, 10 o'clock. Yeah, I'm supposed to do so and so and so. But instead of giving you a book of your life, He wrote the book of your life in your life. And then set that throne right inside of your soul. And sit down on that throne. I know it's hard for us to imagine. But this is the most precious throne the king could ever have. Oh my, I've seen pictures and seen remnants of different thrones as I've traveled in different parts of the earth. And seen, you know, pictures and renderings of ideas of what king's thrones were like, and one tried to outdo the other. He would have his symbols of his power and all this. So when you would come up, they would make the throne very impressive, very big, very large, very strong. They wanted to intimidate the comers. So they might have all kinds of lions or all kinds of beasts, all types of figures. So when you sat there and you looked at that king, it's more than you looking at that king. It's the symbolism of all them powers that's there. But this king, I don't know how he does it, but in the form of spirit, he went down inside my soul. They could do an MRI on me, a PET scan, a dog scan, a cat scan, a horse scan, every kind of scan they've got, and even ones they ain't got yet. And they'll never find him. They'll scan me from top of my head to the bottom of my feet. They can turn me crossways. They can section me like a quarter size oak log. They can turn me every way, turn me upside down till I gargle. They can do all of that sort of thing and they'll never find it. And yet He's there. They'd never believe me if I walked in there and sat down and said, now be careful on that throne room of my heart, cause my Messiah is on the inside of there. And my king has got his soul and my king is ruling. They said, you sit right here, sir. What size coat do you wear? They can look at me. They can scan my brain. They can try to search every avenue. And they'll never find it. So you tell me, because they can't scientifically see it, does that mean I'm a nut? If they scan you with every scientific mechanism they have and prove to you you don't even have a soul, are you going to believe them? Or are you just going to smile with that kind of... Come on, King. Glory! And what does He do? He so impregnates our lives that even though this is not yet fully redeemed, and though the spirit is not yet fully redeemed, and this old fat long tongue of mine, it ain't redeemed yet. But from the throne of my heart, if this big sorry serpent, says the wrong thing, come on, don't sit down and look at me like a whole bunch of angels. The king from the throne room of my heart said, you shouldn't have said that. That was pride. You said that in the flesh. You shouldn't have said that. And then you want to know where He's at. You want to know where His dominion is. It's where He first established it after His advent on the earth, the inside. Notice this, the Messiah Himself working in His own domain. When did it begin? Listen to this. at Pentecost. Not the Pentecostal organization. The Pentecostal experience. Folks in this message have put that on me for years and years and years. They think it embarrasses me. It humiliates me, they think. They think it belittles me and berates me because I'm not a great deep theologian. I'm just a Pentecostal. And when I hear Brother Branham say in 1962 that Pentecost is God, man, that makes me happy. And when I see the Messiah did not set up a school in the upper room. And Dr. Simon Peter walks in with his long robe on, takes his stick. We call this class to attention. Everyone turn with me in your Torah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, before we go with this gospel, we must be trained. John, you've been out there shouting and stuff. You've got to get rid of that stuff. Matthew got there casting out devils. Well, you're acting just like Jesus. So here they are in the upper room. What y'all doing? We're not sure. He told us to come and we're just kind of hanging out. Our problem is we don't hang out long enough. Or we hang out at the wrong places. We don't hang out at the right place long enough, but we hang out at the wrong places too long. Woo! Preach, Brother Donnie! So they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And all of a sudden, there come a sound from heaven. Oh my goodness, it's a bunch of bishops. And their garments are rustling as they're marching down the corridor. And they have their books in their arm, and they're all clearing their throats. And no, it's the founder of the New Dominion. And he don't come with a book in his hand. He don't come with a typewriter in his hand. He don't come with a computer or a cell phone. But he comes in the form of a pillar of fire. Oh, glory. Thank God for the cell phones and the computers and the books and the tapes and the typewriters. Thank God for all of that. But if we're not careful, we're going to substitute the pillar of fire for a tape player. And we'll think because we listened to Brother Branham tapes, that's the new birth. There will be hundreds of people around this message who listen to Brother Branham's tapes that will go to hell. Because that's not the way he started this dominion. But here comes the founder of this domain. And he divides himself. The pillar of fire. Here's the birth of the Messianic Empire. Now watch his delegates. No, it'd been more like this. People on the outside looked at him and said, my Lord, though this is the new dominion, is it? Boy, you can tell them old boys have been drunk. Look at oh, my goodness. So up jumps the main speaker. So I'm going to tell you all something in a minute. These men ain't drunk like you think we are. Seeing this is but the third hour of the day. But this is that. Oh, glory! This is that. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Glory, hallelujah.
Of course, at the end of this domain, this dominion, we polish it all up. How many wants to receive Christ as your Savior? And that's as far as it goes, isn't it? You can do that on an auction. You just bought that dresser, Joy. $782. Are you bidding on something? Is that as far as it goes with you? Are you bidding on something? Are you inviting the King? Oh, cool. Listen, my friend, I believe what Brother Bram said. We don't need altar calls. Well, I'm sorry you didn't know I said that. Christianity versus idolatry, 1961, come draw back perfect strength to perfect weakness, and said, I decided to keep the whole of the tape. He said, because of the main thing that I said there about altar calls. He said, because if I let that out, get ready, office, there'll be 500 letters a week coming through there about altar calls. And he said, I've had many an altar call myself, and I'll probably have many more. He said, but they ain't nowhere in the Bible where they're founded. Peter did not make an altar call at the household of Cornelius, but the Holy Ghost fell on him. Oh, glory! Peter never made no altar call on the day of Pentecost, but they saw the King in action. Do you have to come up here to get it? No, my brother, sister, you can receive it right there. But the thing of it is, if we're not careful, we're trading off more and more. And more. Less movement among the laity, less worship, less effort. Song leader does everything until the preacher comes out, and then he does everything, and then we all go to the house. Where's your part in this service? Oh my. Let me go just one farther. Jesus met every description of every promise that Jehovah made of his coming King and Messiah. Many believed that he was defeated in his work. So this is the founding of the Messianic kingdom, that it seemed as if though the founder himself was defeated. I'm telling you, there's never been a kingdom like this. Amen. It's not like Alexander that would come through riding in his chariot. It's not like the Caesars. It's nothing like any of that at all. We must have it on different principles. When you go through trials and tests and you're going through things that you don't understand what it is, don't you understand? That's part of being in this messianic empire. That the founder himself looked like he was defeated. We believe in divine healing, and we believe in miracles, and we believe that our God can do all kinds of those things, do we not? And how many of our folks have got cancer, diseases, all kinds of troubles? And some of them, it may take them out of you. But it cannot take them unless Father's done with them. Would it look like in the last thing, the very last stage? It looks like you were defeated. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm asking God to heal me. I'm asking God. And then it comes right up and you die by the very thing you're believing God to heal you of. And it'll look like that you're defeated. But that's all it is. It just looks like it. Because if God heals you, you're a winner. If God takes you, you're a winner. So you're a winner either way. It may not come the way we want it. It may come not even come the way we ask for God to do it. But in this dominion, the King controls. Many believe that he was defeated in his work. He still is king. He's a king now. He's king of saints. Jesus is not the God of this age. Satan is. Jesus is not the God of the earth yet. Man was, and man sold it out. Jesus wasn't God of the earth anyway in the beginning. Man was. Come on now. And when man sold it out, then the one who took it from him, now he becomes God. And he bruised him, the Lord Jesus bruised him, and paid the down payment, the price of redemption, and when the time is right, he'll take it away from him. But until that time comes, he will not. So it still looked like he's defeated. But that's all it is. It just looks like it is. Oh, listen to this. Let me close. He's the King of Saints. Revelation says so. He has a kingdom. Aren't you glad you belong in that dominion tonight? In the dominion of the Anointed One. Not only that, but he's made us kings and priests unto God. Anointed ones. Friends, this messianic empire is not just one. There was only one Alexander the Great. Only one Nebuchadnezzar. Only one Julius Caesar. Pharaoh Necho. All the different ones we could name down through the ages. But in this case, it is a kingdom of messiahs. The messianic empire is not named thus because one in the history fulfilled that spot. This is going to be the only empire that could ever be this way, that the messiah would live in every age over a span of 2,000 years. He would reflect himself and his subjects on the earth. Let's stand. Listen to this in paragraph 22 of the Messiah. God's anointed one. God's Messiah church. If Messiah means the anointed one, it means king. Then if the church is anointed by the Messiah spirit, it becomes a lesser. But still, how many believes it? So this messianic empire, it's not just Jesus coming 2,000 years ago, and that was the end of the Messiah. It was the beginning. The Messiah has been on the earth for 2,000 years. Glory to God. It's a messianic empire. In the dark ages, it got down so low and the light got so dim, but it was still here. And in the Reformation, a priest caught the anointed word for that day, which was the Messiah. And the Reformation started. Do you understand where we are right now, friends? Do you understand where we are? In this time, his headship moving into the body proves the closeness of the rapture. His headship moving in your life as an individual. As I said a while ago, things that years ago didn't even bother you about you do this or say that or go here or go there or whatever more. but seem like you become more sensitive, more tuned. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Surely I'm not the only one here that's feeling this way. You become so sensitive. You think, what in the world is going on? The Messiah. Little by little, your spirit, your actions, things that maybe you've done all of your life or said all of your life, or certain mannerisms that you inherited from your family. You still never even thought nothing about it. It seems like it bothers you when you're smart mouthed to so-and-so and say so-and-so. And say, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't be that way. You know, when I lived in my mama's, I tell him, my daddy's like, I'm a child of God. What is it about him? The kingdoms of our Lord. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Not his Jesus, but his Christ. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christos, the anointed ones. As the little eagle heard his mama's voice, and his body become quickened. He had chicken thinking. Mama, how can I get out of here? She said, jump. You're an eagle to begin with. But Brother Branham said he thought he couldn't get no higher than he could jump, because he was a chicken. Listen to it. Rising of the sun. Brother Branham says he was a chicken. But where was he a chicken? Were in his feathers? Were in his beak? Were in his claws? And he's thinking. Many of you look like Brad. You have certain bride cliches. But we're still chicken thinking. I'm no good. I came to this. I'm this, that, or the other. You bigger jaws off that old pastor rooster. That old mama that cluck, 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 hatched you out. You better get your eyes up here in this heavenly image. Brother Abraham said whenever it hit him, he took off and he jumped up on the fence post. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That might not sound like much to you, but that was a pretty good jump for him. So you imagine. What do I do? Jump. You're an eagle to begin with. So he starts exercising them wings. Stirred up a mess. I mean dust stirring the barnyard. And that old pastor. You're making a mess of the church. Quick, get away from here. What do I do, Mama? What do I do? Jump. So he goes, oh. I'm seasick. Mama, I'm scared of heights. No, you're not. You're an eagle! Oh, glory to God. You imagine all the rest of them chickens running around there in the barnyard. Don't you understand what happened to him? That revelation quickened his body. Don't you understand what this word is doing to you? It's quickening your body. Bringing your body subject to the word. You're not born again, your body yet, but it will be. But you can't get heavenly till you first try. So it quickened his body. And his confidence built, Brother Tom. Now he might have sat there and said, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia. Laodicea. Glory! The countdown was over. His body then had realized there was an image in him that was greater than the law of gravity. from the day that egg cracked open, he was taught law by the law of gravity. It held him to the ground. But that image of that eagle projected into his thinking that he had a law greater than the law of gravity. Do you understand? You do. You've got a law on you tonight that's greater than sickness and death and sorrow. It's the law of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. All glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, now I'll tell you, Brother Donnie, Kenneth Copeland says, and Kenneth Hagin, and look, friends, I'm not saying nothing against those men. Those men can say what they want to say. They can fix up, you know, all the chicken suppers and all the things that they want to fix up. But I'm going to ask you something. When Ruth went home early that morning after the rising of the sun, when she was found laying at the feet of Boaz, and he told her to open up her veil, and he loaded her down with all kinds of good grain. I wonder if Ruth went out now about 11 o'clock on the next day and started gleaning in the fields again. Starving to death, trying to find a little bite of something to eat. She had all she was going to need until the work was finished. I'm not saying Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, many of those men out there, they can say good things, they can do all that sort of thing. But can they produce a rapture? Absolutely not. Can the men who try to straddle this message and hold on to Pentecost and hold on to the message, can they produce a rapture? They cannot. Can they produce word bursts in this message? They cannot. It's going to take this message to get you out of here in a rapture. This is a rapture message. Kenneth Hope and Copenhagen, all the rest of them men do not have a rapture message. They are not found in Genesis 24 as the Eliezer that's sent to call the bride. Brother Donnie, we can get some good things from them. I'm not saying that. If you want to take the time tonight, go down to Fats after service. Go to their garbage dumps and their bins out there. I'd say you could find a half of a sweet potato there. You could probably find a few French fries. You might find a quarter of somebody's steak that they didn't eat, or half of one of them little rolls that they give you with that fine little butter. And you might want to sit on the outside of the garbage can and just sit there and dip in it. Are you? You going to do that? I mean, if I'm going to do it, I mean, why not go in the front door and get mine fresh? So if you want to spend all of your time surfing the web and trying to find this man and what that man's got to say, go in here and go in there, and some of y'all do it to message preachers too. You go to this church and go to that and then try to find something another. Look, but your problem is you need to find out who your pastor is. You need to find out where you belong and find out where God wants you to be and sit there and receive benefit from other men. But instead of trying to be fed by this one and that one and that one and that one and that one, you need to say, God, where do I belong? Where do I belong? God, help me to find that ministry that I can sit under that will change my chicken thinking. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Well, let's bow our heads. I'm not sure who that was said for, but anyway, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for allowing us to be part of this dominion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Without my choice, I was born into the kingdom of the north. Without me having a say to say, no, I don't want to be born that way. I don't want to be born a sinner. So without my choice, I was born into the kingdom of the north. I inherited traits from my mama, my daddy, my uncles, my grandparents. as the rest of these people did the same. But, oh Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that one day something began to move upon my heart toward the real kingdom, the kingdom of the stone. Lord God, I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, as I heard Brother Ram say it this week, he said, every one of us, from the least to the greatest, keep God out of our own lives. I thought, how pitiful. He said, many folks, when they become Christians, they become arrogant. And he said, you're going exactly the opposite direction of the way you should. That you should become humble and realize you're nobody. Lord, help us, I pray, Father. Let your dominion, let your domain, your empire, let it dominate, Lord. Let it dominate me. Me, Lord. My wife, my children, their husbands, our grandchildren, our church. Lord God, may it go to the deepest jungles of Africa. Lord, may it go to London, England. May it go out to the Wilkinsons. May it go out, oh God, to those up in the cold north in the Yukon. May it go to those in the Netherlands, wherever they are around the earth. May this dominion reach to every life whose name is on that book of life. And may they come into this domain not by a bunch of rules and regulations, but by baptism of fire. Then the do's and the don'ts will not be burdensome to them. And they'll not look at it as legalism. Oh, Lord Jesus, for those who are in love with you, they look at it as the dictates of the King. For a young lady who's filled with the Holy Ghost, she sees that her husband, Christ, doesn't want her to cut her hair. She views it totally different from a girl who just comes to a message church and hears quotes read and scriptures read, and yet the desire to do it still in her soul. But once that young girl ever becomes into the dominion of Christ, then the nature that she was born with to rebel against God, the nature of the soul, it's gone. Then the King has set up his throne in her heart. Then from there, he will start ruling her life. And she put in a certain CD with music on it. And she listened to it just last week before she got the Holy Ghost. But somehow that CD sounds funny. It's grieving what's inside her. It's supposed to be gospel. But since the King moved into her heart, it sounds more like rock and roll than it does gospel. That certain thing she used to do or used to say just last week before the King set up his throne, she starts to do it again because she's a creature of habit. And as soon as she does, or before she starts to, something from within her soul. No, daughter, don't do that. Don't do that. Sirens may not scream across the state. Nobody in the household might not even know it. But the dominion of the Messiah is ruling and reigning. Lord, help us to see. We're looking ourselves, if we're not careful, for the millennium. We're wanting to walk on water and control the winds and the storms. And that's not the Messianic Empire now at all. It's to control us from within. If we'd be able to control our tongue, bridle our mouths, and be able to answer with a soft word, words fitly spoken like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, when our human nature give us a fat mouth and a loud mouth and speak our mind. But once the King rules on the throne of our heart, we don't want to speak our mind, we want to speak His. Oh, help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. How many like to raise your hand to Him tonight and say, Lord, that's what I want with all my heart. Amen. Brother Donnie, does it mean I'm not in the kingdom because I'm not there yet tonight? Of course it doesn't mean that, friends. when a man would come in and conquer nations, it would take them months and sometimes years to bring them under control. Do you understand how the Samaritan race come to be? Because one of the kings who'd conquered Israel took all the inhabitants of Israel and Samaria out and moved them to his kingdom and sent foreigners in there. And the wild beasts of the field would kill them. And then they'd send more and they'd kill them. And they'd send more and they'd kill them. So being heathens, they thought that they was offending the gods of this area. So they sent some of the priests, the Jewish priests, back to Jerusalem to start teaching the people the ways of Jehovah. And then they married into these heathen Gentiles. And when they did, that's how the Samaritan race began. So they build them a temple on Mount Gerizim, identical to the one on Mount Moriah. The sacrifices are the same. The worship is the same. Everything identical. That's why Jesus said, you worship here. But we know what we worship. Why? Because it took months and years. So the Messiah don't hate you. Because it's been 20 years or 30 and he still hasn't got you 100% under control. He wants your mouth, your reasoning, everything about you in his dominion. And this is how determined he is. If you live to be 987 years old and your name is on that Lamb's Book of Life, he will get you in spite of you and the devil and everybody else. He will lose none. Because he is determined. So little eagle, when you jump up on that post, don't jump there and stop. But keep jumping. And keep climbing. Keep sailing. Spread your wings, little eagle.
So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born. Soar in the sky. Don't let your trials.
where you going, Brother Donnie?
To Beulah Land. I'm all for you.
God bless you, saints.
Someday.